is not just a first world preoccupation with food. The perversity of our anxiety about eating less or eating organic or eating local or eating differently sits uneasily alongside simple anxiety about eating at all, which is the situation for the majority of the world's poor. Whether with too much or the wrong kind or not enough food, and thinking about food takes up a lot of mental energy for most of the world's population. In these discourses in John's Gospel about the bread of life, Jesus speaks of a different kind of eating, a different kind of feeding, indeed, a different kind of food, a spiritual food which nourishes and protects and identifies those who partake in it. At the center of the Christian faith is this concept of Jesus as the bread of life. And this then radiates out into all areas of our shared life as we live as the body of Christ and to seek to bring that life of Christ to all those among whom we live. And living as part of a community whose raison d'etre is to bring life to others is not an option for Christians. In our prayer after communion, we often pray that God will, in his grace, enable us to bring life to others, to give light to the world. That's why we gather and why we are sent out. But in this task alone, we need to pay special attention to how we are fed and how we are enabled by this feeding to be shaped. And unlike our physical food, which we consume for ourselves, our spiritual food, which is also mostly the bread of life, is never consumed for ourselves alone, but also for others. As well as food, there's another obsession in our Western world, and this one isn't shared the world over, and that's having to do with clothes, with what we wear. The makeover was not invented for television. It's just been honed in. As far back as we can go in human civilization, clothes have been both functional and, more importantly, very potent symbols. They separated class and gender, background, culture, status. Clothes tell a story, and even now manage to do something about communicating occupation. Think of how much is communicated by only one part of a well-recognized uniform. A lab coat, a police officer's helmet, a nurse's watch, a clerical collar. Each of these developed from one piece of functional clothing, and some have ceased to be functional and, of course, now are purely symbolic. And clothes have meaning not just to those who would consider themselves fashion conscious. And St. Paul knew the importance of clothing as symbol when he used the example of a Roman soldier as he was writing the letter to the Ephesians. The soldier's apparel was a picture which made sense to all who would have heard or perhaps read his words, and it needed no explanation. It was an immediate visual aid. 2,000 years on, of course, we rely on history books to tell us what this soldier's apparel was like. But even now, through the passage of time, we still recognize something about which he was writing. But he wasn't using the soldier's day wear, if you like, the everyday garb, to provide a template for this morning, but the armor, that special wear, which was symbolic as well as practical and protective. Soldiers needed to be, as then, as now, precise about what they put on. Each piece had a different function. And it was only when worn together and worn correctly that its effectiveness could be guaranteed. And so Paul used this metaphor, which would have been so accessible to everyone, to write something about how Christians can know an inner clothing, like Jesus spoke about an inner feeding. In his wisdom, and perhaps through his experience, St. Paul knew that most often the difficult battles that we face are within ourselves. They're not external at all. Battles such as how to do the right thing, how to be the right person, how to have a clear conscience, make the right decisions as people of faith, how to be true to that inheritance. And at the heart of Christianity is the reality that God showed us in Jesus how to be fully human. So the inner clothing to which Paul refers has to do with that goal, being fully human, made in the image and likeness of God, and living for God's glory, for our blessing as we serve God. So as then, as those who first received these words as part of the Church of Ephesus, how do we hear them? What do we need for our inner clothing today? What inner clothing do we need as we face the week that now lies before us? Paul used the pieces of a soldier's armor to explain it. A belt, a breastplate, shoes, a shield, a helmet, and a sword. It's a good mental picture, but I expect most of us will not go to work or to leisure or to the shops or to see friends tomorrow with a sword. What might we use as our inner clothing? Paul first mentions the belt of truth. And we've all put on belts. Some, of course, rely on belts to keep skirts and trousers in place. But it was a soldier's belt of which he wrote. It wasn't a fashion thing slid through hoops, but it was a heavy belt, and it was placed over the clothes. He suggested that we wrap truth around us as a heavy belt would be wrapped around us. Not the truth of Copernicus or Einstein, but the truth which is present in the heart and in the conscience of all human beings. Telling the truth, living in the light of the truth, honestly dealing with all the circumstances in which we find ourselves, and most importantly, to know the truth as that resting place which it is. How might we wrap ourselves around with truth? Although, of course, many wear belts, few of us will wear breastplates. Breastplates were heavy things. They made too much movement a bit challenging. Modern soldiers, police officers, and my daughter as a paramedic has an equivalent of a breastplate. They wear it to keep them safe. Paul says that Christians should put on a breastplate of righteousness. What might this mean for us? We won't all put on a stab vest with the paramedics and the police officers. But to put on a breastplate of righteousness carries some of the same sense of weightiness and heaviness. Righteousness is a richly textured word and basically is another way of saying God's goodness, just and upright, right relationships with one another, with the created order, with our Creator. And sometimes wearing that breastplate, like it would make movement difficult, it makes things more challenging. For sometimes wearing that righteousness means we need to take a stand, not bending to prevailing culture or understanding. And taking a stand can be costly. It feels weighty, like we're carrying a burden. But the breastplate that we put on is one of right relationships, having wrapped ourselves round with truth, being determined to live as righteously as we possibly can. And it's not easy. To our feet, St. Paul says our feet should be shod with whatever makes us ready to proclaim peace. This is a tall order, I think, even when that seems simply to be something like kindness or gentleness or generosity. Peace is a wise solution which reconciles people to each other, but it's also the determined vision which keeps identifying the goodness. Shoes that carry peace need to be continually reshod. The right ones need to be worn in each circumstance and to know why they're being worn. And that too, like wearing a breastplate of righteousness, can be costly. But as always in all his writings, St. Paul is realistic. He knows that there are always times, like for the Ephesian Christians, that people will have a go at us. He knew enough of that himself. He was in prison, after all, for proclaiming the good news of Christ. He'd been beaten, shipwrecked, fell out with friends, had arguments with Peter, but mostly he'd been harassed for simply following Jesus. So it must have been from the heart too when he wrote about the soldier's shield and suggested that we find ways of carrying a shield of faith. As the psalmist said, we place our faith and trust in God, and for us as Christians, in the God we know in Christ. God who took into our heart through the ascension of the risen Christ our whole human condition. So how could we use the shield of our faith to protect us not just from the external onslaughts, but from the internal onslaughts, whether we generate them or they're in a response to what happens to us? Our faith can sometimes be determined by what we feel or what we know. But there are times when we feel nothing, and all we know is that perhaps someone else knows. And that's how this shield of faith works, for it's in company with others. Just like with soldiers working together, the shields are not just for themselves, but often for those alongside whom they serve. So too for us. As our shield of faith helps us with our own internal struggles, so also it can help others in the struggles that they face. And so as we prepare to face our week, we put on a helmet and pick up a sword. We don't really do them, but Paul speaks of them together in the same way as he speaks of salvation, which is a word meaning healing, and the word of God. The word he uses for word is pneuma, which is breath, life-giving breath. Not a word like we would use to speak to one another, but that which gives life to all people. St. Paul isn't referring to either scripture or to Jesus, but the breath of God which hovered over the waters at creation, the breath of God which is everywhere, the breath in which the people of God participate. That's what we do when we put on a helmet of wholeness and a sword of the Spirit. For St. Paul and other first century Palestinians, the head was that part of the body that had to do with law and adherence and tradition. So putting healing, salvation onto that part of the human being had to do with allowing our past to be shaped by a new life, forever taking stock of the tradition we've received and the new life in which we live. But like with the sword and the helmet and all the else, it has to be put on ourselves. We have to make that choice. Just as we choose to participate in the life of Christ as members of one body, so we choose to put on that armor. It's internal, of course, because the effects won't be seen from the outside by other people. In fact, we wouldn't want anyone to know. People of peace are known as people of peace. Those who are belted round with truth are known as those who can rest in truth. Those who live with carrying the breastplate of righteousness are those who are known and respected for that. We all need food and clothing, internal and external. How we receive these, how we wear them, is what makes a difference to ourselves and to the communities of which we're a part. But it's all available for us, the grace of God freely given. So as we think forward to our week, which is now beginning, what situations will be made easier for us if we can know that we are putting on a belt of truth, that our feet are shod with the shoes of peace, that although it's a heavy burden, we carry a breastplate of righteousness, holding on to a shield of faith and carrying with us the word of God. The soldiers that St. Paul used for his example put up with that added weight of the armor because they knew that to carry it would bring them strength. And I think it's just the same with our inner clothing. But the weight that we put on as we decide to carry truth, to be known as people of righteousness, to actively look for and seek to bring peace, when we put on those extra things, we don't carry that weight alone, because we carry that weight with the risen Jesus, who does walk with us every step of the way. So then as we pray and offer to God in a moment, in our intercessions, our week, the things we ordinarily carry, so too may we find ourselves desiring to put on a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of wholeness, to carry the shield of faith as our feet are trod with the shoes of peace, that we may rest in that truth, that righteousness and goodness, and that not just this week, but in other weeks to come, that we may know that strength which comes from carrying the armor of God. Amen.